Some of you may not realize what the quiet hour is or what it's doing. Jackie, did you want to share just a word or two about what the quiet hour? This gal has been my lovely wife now for 41 years, if you can believe that.
When you came in or while you were seated, I handed out a few of our magazines. Is there anybody that didn't get a little packet like this? I have a few more. There's one. Maybe Glenn or somebody, you can hand out these. If you just raise your hand. Inside are some goodies. The Quiet Hour has been around since 1937. My husband's grandfather, J.L. Tucker, started preaching on the radio. He was a pastor in Portland, Oregon, and he began a radio broadcast. He was so scared, he said that his knees applauded him. But God blessed him. And as he preached, people responded, and then he had the opportunity to do a world trip. And he saw the needs around the world in the different mission countries. And he came back and appealed to the listeners to raise funds for an airplane. And they responded so well, they raised $25,000. Can you imagine buying an airplane for $25,000? That was back in the 60s. Today, the Quiet Hour has been able to put 50 airplanes into the mission fields to work there. And Bill and I have experienced firsthand the blessing of the airplanes. We were just in Papua New Guinea in the fall, up in the highlands, and there are only, I believe, 12 roads, but 600 airfields. So if you can imagine, that's the best way to get around, is in an airplane. It takes days and weeks to hike in. If you go by vehicle, the roads are so bad that you end up getting stuck. And I wish we had time to show you some footage of that very thing. But the airplanes have been a wonderful blessing. Then we've been able to sponsor over 3,000 chapels, some orphanages, schools. It's just been thrilling to see how God has blessed. And it's people like yourselves who have donated funds to make this happen. It isn't just Bill and I. It isn't our office crew back in Redlands. But it's people like yourselves who see the vision and want to see the work finished. We just returned about a week ago from the country of Peru. We were up about 12,000 feet in Cusco, Peru. We gained a little altitude challenges, and I'm still battling a little of that. But it was thrilling to be able to preach the gospel. I had the awesome part of being a part of the medical clinics. And so some of you may say, I can't preach. Well, there is something for everybody. We had eyeglasses donated by the Lions Club, which we gave out. We had dentists who extracted teeth. And believe it or not, we had some people who weren't dentists extracting teeth. Mm-hmm. That happens when you're outside North America. We had three medical doctors who were treating patients. The beauty, though, I want to share with you is not just giving out pills or giving out glasses, but it's the opportunity to share the love with these people. And though they spoke Spanish, and I don't speak much Spanish, you can always give people hugs and smiles and touch. Do you know that I went to the doctor last week, and I don't think he ever even touched my body other than putting a stethoscope to listen to my lungs. People need to be touched. We need touch here in our own country. We need to love people, and that's what the Quiet Hour is attempting to do. Look through the materials. I'm not going to expand a lot on it, except that there's a card like this in there. And if you would take it out right now and put your name and address and email on it, I'm going to pick those up as they go down the center aisle, because during the lunch today, I believe Bill is going to be giving away something. We have a new DVD that was produced by the Quiet Hour called the Three Angels DVD. And it's an awesome docudrama of the beginning, where Eden began, until Eden is restored in the New Jerusalem. And it shows the conflict that has gone on between Christ and Satan. I believe you'll want to have it. And just by filling out this card, we'll do a drawing at lunch, and he's going to give away two, I believe, of those today. It's I think, something you'll enjoy having. Read the magazine. Just know the Quiet Hour is involved in a lot of things. You can go to our website, thequiethour.org, and see about the evangelistic opportunities. We have a program for the young people, high school age kids, a great opportunity to go and be a part of a mission team. God is blessing. We thank you for your support of the Quiet Hour. I know he'll bless us today as we hear his word.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about Alamar. Alamar is from the city of Teruvannamalai. Teruvannamalai, can you say that? That's not a bad name, except that when we came there, we had never been to Teruvannamalai. But what we found out was it was a city that had the fourth largest Hindu temple in the world, a center for Hinduism, and there was not a Seventh-day Adventist church in that city. I had the privilege and joy of preaching nightly to hundreds of Hindus, lifting up Jesus, many of whom had never heard of Jesus before. Alamar, he brought a group every night in his truck. Hundreds of people are transported this way, by the way, in India. And he had been contracted with from a village to assist bringing people to our meetings. He had no intention of coming to our meeting, but when he came, he was intrigued to come inside, and what he heard changed his life forever, because he heard for the first time about Jesus. And as Jesus was being lifted up, he was being drawn to this man Jesus, who was going to change his life, who was going to make life different for him, and who was going to give him a future that he did not have before. He was so excited by what he was hearing as he came nightly. He went back to his village, and these are the people of his village. He went from house to house, knocking on doors, a Hindu, telling people, "You've got to come to these meetings and hear about this man Jesus." He brought over 100 people every night from his village. And would you believe it? At the end of our meetings, 100 of his village accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to study to be baptized. And from what I understand, Alamar is now a baptized Seventh-day Adventist. It was worth the trip because I saw with my own eyes, you know, in India you have the caste system. But we saw a Brahmin priest be baptized. And that is a very rare thing to see that actually happen. 1,500 people have been baptized out of those meetings in Teruvannamalai. Can you say amen? Now, why do I tell you this story? Because Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." How many? It says, "All peoples to myself." We had never been to Teruvannamalai. There were many places throughout India where we had the privilege and joy of going into places where there was no Seventh-day Adventist presence. I've been in the heart of Russia, atheistic state, where there was no Seventh-day Adventist presence. But again, this promise has come to pass. I don't know how many times it came to pass this last trip in Peru. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw how many people? All peoples to myself." And if we recognize what that statement is really saying, if you are willing to lift up Jesus in your neighborhood to the people that you meet, it's going to have a contagious effect, because God goes into action in special ways that you know not of, opens doors that you don't know that are opened. And as long as you're willing to be made willing by His Spirit, God can do things through you which will be totally amazing to yourself. And so I encourage you, take the words of Jesus, which is truly a promise, because all peoples will be drawn to Him. Praise God. There is a sign that He puts out there, "Help Wanted." And why do you think He's showing that sign today? Because the fields are white, ready for harvest. But what does the text say? The workers are few. The laboring laborers are few. And there is always room for more in His workforce. Always room for more. Now there is a message that is going to end all things, that title slide that you saw earlier. And we're rapidly approaching that time. Because there's one thing that's for sure. He's coming, ready or not. And He is going to make sure that His message is proclaimed to the ends of the earth, even if the rocks have to cry out. And I could tell you some stories which would be indicative of the fact that there is something that is happening around the globe right now. People are having dreams all over the world. There's similar dreams that He is coming soon, and it's time to get ready. But let me ask you something as we look at a very familiar passage, Matthew chapter 24. You're familiar with it. And let's look at our Bibles right now. And beginning in verse 3, it says, "As He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age?'" And you remember what Jesus said. He said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in My name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' will deceive many." Then He says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." So He said, many will be deceived. There would be wars and rumors of wars. But notice what else He says. "But the end is not yet." And then He continues to share. "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." And then He says there'd be famines, there'd be earthquakes, there would be pestilence. And then He says, all these are what? These are the beginning of sorrows or birth pains. So first He says, the end is not yet. Then He says, these signs that are going to take place are the beginning of sorrows. Now we've been having earthquakes. We've been having famines. We've been having floods. We've been having all those things for quite some time. And Jesus said, these are the beginning of sorrows. He didn't say they're the end of sorrows. He said they're the beginning of sorrows. And then He goes on to talk about false prophets will rise up, deceive many. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. And I heard over the news as we were coming down last night, this weekend, Father's Day weekend, 25 million children will not have fathers to be with them. I don't know how that hits you, but that hits me. And we saw a lot of orphans while we were in Peru. We've seen a lot of orphans in Russia. We've seen a lot of orphans everywhere we have gone. And that is no different right here in the U.S. Whether they're orphans or whether they're dealing with single parents and blended families, children are still hurting today because of the lack of a father's love. But one thing we can be assured of, one Father we can always be sure of His love, and that's our Heavenly Father. Amen. So what brings everything to an end? Let's look at a very familiar passage, Matthew 24:14. "This gospel," say it with me, "of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations." Then what happens? "Then the end will come." Now, up until what Jesus said earlier, it was either the end is not yet, it is the beginning of sorrows. It's not until Jesus makes this statement. This statement, and only then does He say, the end will come. This is a very significant statement of Jesus, because it says that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. The end will come. So what is the gospel? Talk to me. All right. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The good news. All right. It's the good news. About what? About whom? We know that it's about Jesus. But I want you to look at something that I had not looked at seriously for a while. It speaks about the kingdom. The kingdom. It speaks about Jesus. But I want us to look at it in the context of Jesus' life and ministry. As we look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 and 36, notice what it says. And it hit me the other day that this is all connected. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of what? Of the kingdom. And then it says, and healing every disease and sickness. Okay? So Jesus went from village to village, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and at the same time, he was healing all manner of diseases and sickness. He didn't ask them about their creed. He didn't ask them about their color. He just went from place to place, and it totally changed a community wherever he went. When Jesus saw the crowds in chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, this describes the people that he was ministering to. So he went from village to village, preached the good news that they desperately needed because they had been harassed. They were steeped in philosophical darkness of the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders and nation. And they were like sheep without a shepherd. Has times changed any, really, when you think about it? So Jesus came with a distinct message for a distinct time, a distinct ministry. He went everywhere healing all manner of sickness and suffering and reaching out and touching people's lives where they were hurting. Now we're beginning to realize a little bit the purpose and of what Jesus was doing while here. The good news for us as it was the good news for them. Jesus came to take away the kingdom of darkness that had been set up by Lucifer, who had usurped God's authority, who fell from heaven. Jesus came to set the stage for his kingdom of grace and glory. Yes, he came to set the captives free. Amen. So this is really the message of the kingdom. I'm coming to set you free. You have been in the kingdom of darkness, and I'm setting the stage to set up my kingdom of grace and glory. Amen? That message was bad news for Satan. That message let Satan know that his days were numbered. Is it any wonder that Satan became so wroth and angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed? Yeah. So Jesus came to make a difference. So it's all about the gospel of good news is all about Jesus, because he came to set us free. He came to restore what had been lost in Eden. He came to bring health, happiness, and hope for a secure future. That is what we have been preaching around the world. That is what the Quiet Hours ministry is all about. ministering right now in 135 countries of the world, touching people's lives where they're hurting. That's why we try to bring in a medical team. How I wish I could go into villages like Jesus and just say, be healed. Yeah? You know, there's a passage of Scripture that has constantly challenged my thinking, Glenn, in John chapter 14, verse 12, where he says that the works that I do shall you do also. And then he says, and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Well, Jesus healed the sick. Jesus raised the dead. Bill Tucker has not done any of that. But I will share this with you. I have taken his words seriously, and I have seen people healed. He, the great healer, in modern day time. I stood on a stage there, and I prayed for somebody that had boils all over his chest. And when we finished praying, he went home, he came back, and there was not a boil on any part of his chest. And I praise God. A Hindu was prayed for in Thiruvanamalai. 4 days later, he came running down the aisle with his wife. His wife, a Hindu, she had to take the stage and share testimony of what Jesus had done for her husband. Can you imagine? He was healed. His leg, he could hardly even walk. He had to be helped into the truck. But he literally bounded up the steps onto the stage. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Jesus went into village after village after village preaching good news. Do we have the best news in the world or what? Do we? If we really believe what we say we believe, what do you think our communities need? They need good news, don't they? We live in an environment of such bad news right now that we've got the best news in the world for them. And I think the Lord is wanting us to be serious about what He said, that this gospel, this good news of the kingdom to set the captives free, this good news is going to be preached as a witness in all the world. Then he says the end is going to come. Well, Jesus gave power and authority to his disciples. For when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out what? All demons and cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to do what? Heal the sick. So they went out from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere, it says. Now, his disciples did that. Are we his disciples? Are we? There you are, folk. The power is still there. Paul takes the gospel message of the kingdom seriously. As it says there in Acts chapter 20, verse 24 and 25. He said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. There it is again. So what was Paul's focus? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also the Greek. He lifted up Jesus to the people everywhere, and they came. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all people unto myself. Paul realized that. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And what does John the Revelator say? Say it with me. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a soft voice, loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. It's a clarion call. It's the everlasting gospel to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. It is a call to bring people back to the true worship of God, the one who's going to make a difference in your life. To be preaching that kind of message to hundreds of Hindus every night that were polytheistic, can you imagine? That was a new revelation for them. It definitely was. But it doesn't matter whether you're in India or you're here in Point Loma. We all have our multitudes of gods, do we not? And He is saying, there is only one. Numero uno. He said, I am the one who's going to send you through. I'm going to one that's going to carry you through. I'm going to be the one that's going to make a difference in your life. Not all these other gods that are going to be transitory and fleeting. So who is to share the gospel? Jesus said, He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you go into the Quiet Hour headquarters, you'll see in bold relief those words. That is our mission statement. And we believe it. Yes, we are the ones that are to take it to the entire world. If you don't remember anything that I've shared, remember this statement. The gospel we share is the gospel we bear. Say it with me. The gospel we share is the gospel we bear. In other words, the kind of gospel that you're sharing with somebody is the gospel you're bearing in your life. It's true. Your life is going to be an open testimony to somebody whether you realize it or not. Every single day. Some people are Seventh-day Adventists, and then there are people that are Seventh-day Adventists. Every single day. We believe that Jesus is coming soon. Our lives testify of that fact. Every day we believe that He is our truth. He is our life. We bear witness and testimony of that fact. Because He is upon our lips. We love Him with all our hearts. And we will bear witness and testimony of that. Central Seventh-day Adventist Church in Cusco, Peru. Just a few days ago, I witnessed things that I had never witnessed in 41 years of ministry within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In one morning's, Sabbath morning's time, there were three baptismal services. Not just three baptisms, but three baptismal services. Now, leading up to that, were things that were happening that I was taking notice almost immediately. As I was giving a call, an invitation for people to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, accept the claims of the gospel, be free in Christ, let Jesus do something different and wonderful in your life, experience that tonight. And I invited people to come forward. I noticed that people were deliberately, but they were intentionally thinking about what I was saying. And then one would get up out of their seat and come forward. Then I noticed something. I noticed people along the side, very strategically planted. And I've later realized that these were the group leaders of that church. These were the ones who were in charge of small groups within that church. These were the ones who had been out visiting, studying with people that were coming out nightly to the meetings. And pretty soon I saw as one by one sat down and they began dialogue as I was making the invitation. Pretty soon, that person would get up with the group leader and walk down to the front. One after another, after another, after another, after another. There were nights that we had 30 people come forward. It was an amazing thing. Do you notice something that's kind of different? Do you notice these are all young men between the ages of 18 and 30? It's an amazing thing what happened there in Cusco. More men actually made their decision for the Lord Jesus Christ than women. Yes. Unusual. But that is what's happening there. And I contribute it to the fact that these leaders there in the Central Church of Cusco, they were lifting up Jesus to the people that they were studying with. Because I went into some of these homes. I said, I've got to see this for myself. I went into home after home after home, and I saw these group leaders in action, how they were so conscientious in what they were doing. They loved the Lord Jesus. They testified of what Jesus had done for them personally. And then to hear the testimony of these who had made decisions right in the home, it was no wonder that it was much easier for them to come forward because their decision had already been made. This particular home, Alfonso, who was the group leader, and I talked with these two young ladies, one's 23 and one's 13, and they had already made a decision to be baptized. And they had hoped that their father was going to be baptized. He had said, one of these days I'll make my decision. But the more we talked, the more the Holy Spirit was working. And I said to him, your daughters are leading the way. It would be so wonderful to see the family together. Now, they had been estranged from their mother and from wife for about 10, 12 years. And they later said, pray for our mother that she too will find the Lord. But when, just before we got ready to leave, the father said, I'm going to join my daughters. We lifted up Jesus. Alfonso lifted up Jesus. It had a contagious effect. They were drawn to making a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Noe is someone else. He's in the South Philippines. Actually in the central part, a place called Bacolod. Where I saw Noe first was in prison. Noe had just recently gotten out of prison. Noe was a drug lord, a prostitute ringleader. He was feared in his village. He did not know God. He did not know Jesus. And he scoffed at the very fact of being anything religious. And when he was finally put into prison, this young Seventh-day Adventist young man who came and said, Noe, God loves you and so do I. And Noe scoffed at him, but he didn't give up. He lifted up Jesus to him every day. Pretty soon it got to him. And Noe said, if there is such a thing as God up there who can do that kind of change in my life, he says, I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy with my life. I hate my life. And he gave his life over to God. And Noe was so turned on to the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus did in his life that he was able to miraculously get out of prison much earlier than he was supposed to, but he stayed in prison just so he could minister to the people there in prison. And when we came, 32 of his converts that he'd been studying with, here he was a brand new Christian, so turned on, we saw 32 of his converts baptized in prison. And then if that wasn't enough, he took us to his neighborhood that had once feared him. That whole neighborhood has changed. He actually now has a brand new congregation that he has built up, over 100 members, a new church of former druggies, prostitutes, you name it, turned on because of lifting up Jesus. That's what it's all about. I could tell you about Rafaela in Costa Rica. She was so mad that she almost killed two husbands. She today is a beautiful Christian who loves the Lord Jesus, found the Lord as an aunt lifted up Jesus to her. And now she works with unwed mothers. And while we were there, she brought 7 of her latest converts to be baptized. She has a Bible study every Thursday night in the back of her business, which is her home. And you can just tell by her smile, right there, her smile, that she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people. There's 100 million unchurched in North America. Unchurched. Any city of any size, 80% of that city are unchurched. Jesus says, I have a plan for your life. Jesus even reaches out to the stubborn. He reaches out to the helpless. He reaches out to all of us and he receives us just as we are. There's a gospel that needs to go to 1.4 billion Muslims. You might be interested to know that many Muslims around the globe right now are having similar dreams. That Jesus is their Messiah. That Jesus is coming soon. They do have in their Quran the coming of Jesus. They believe in the great judgment day. They know that judgment is coming. There is a gospel that needs to go to 1.4 billion Muslims. There is a ministry that we have called Enoch's Passion. A growing number of believers. I cannot tell you where they are because of the sensitivity of things right now. But there are thousands of believers who believe in Jesus as their Messiah, who worship on the Sabbath as you and I do. But they have to do it carefully. I could tell you about Omar, but we don't have time. There are 900 million Hindus and 400 million Buddhists. He's going to need to go to the marginalized. Yes, the gospel has to reach out to everyone, including the gay community. Because the gospel that brings salvation and hope to all, he must be the Savior of all or not at all. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. Did you know that you and I have the power to hasten our Lord's return? Yes, we do. By giving the gospel to the world, it is in whose power? It is in our power to hasten our Lord's return. We're not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of the day of God. Had the Church of Christ done her appointed work as the Lord ordained, the whole world would before this have been warned, and the Lord Jesus would have come into earth in power and great glory. That's taken from a great book, Desire of Ages, 633. Cecily, she's the gal right there. My pointer just went out. But Cecily, where her name is printed there, she is a mother of 3. Her husband had been tragically killed. Cecily took, because of the conviction in her heart, she took the gospel of Jesus to her neighborhood, to her village, and then God gave her a special gift. She began praying for people that were sick and they miraculously started being healed. And because of her love for the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting to take the message that she loved so dearly, she went from village to village to village to village. And when we found out about her, she had 700 people who had become believers from Hinduism. And she said, "We need a chapel." She actually needed 7 chapels. We said, "We'll give you 1 chapel." And so we started to erect the chapel in her area. And the priest heard about it and says, that chapel needs to be built right next to the Hindu temple. And we said, "Well, why?" He said, "Because this woman has so much power that we want it right next door to the Hindu temple so that the power of what takes place in that chapel can spill over into the Hindu temple." Can you imagine that? My friends, I hope that we have gotten across today that where Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw" how many people? "All people to myself." Soon Jesus will come. He's going to come for his people. His people that are prepared to meet him. I want to be among those who are ready. More importantly, I want to be a part of that movement that is lifting up Jesus, that is going to draw people down my street, in my neighborhood, in my town, in my city, and wherever I go, to him. How about you today? Is that your decision? If that's your decision and you really mean it in your life, would you stand with me right where you are? Shall we pray? Father, we know we're living in Earth's last part of the history that we're going to be seeing here. So many things are indicating that fact. There are so many things that we have personally seen around the globe that also are indicators of that fact. Lord, today you've given us a clear message that if you be lifted up, you'll draw all people to yourself. So as we do that, Lord, may we be the hands, the arms, the feet of Jesus, the lips of Jesus to declare your glory. And we'll just enjoy knowing that we're part of the winning team. To know that soon this work will be finished. To know that you're going to make everything new soon. And Father, we want to be able to have many people that we can bring forward and say, "Lord, you gave us the power to be able to draw these people to you, and we just praise you." And Father, we just want to be able to thank you and praise your name throughout eternity. So today on your Sabbath, may it be truly a fulfilling one as we go forth from this place to serve, to share, to testify of what you're doing in our lives and in the lives of so many others around the globe. In Jesus' name, amen.